Yesterday, Saturday, I had the privilege of officiating at not one but two weddings. And no, they were not done simultaneously, but one after the other, quite literally, one at 3 o'clock and one at 5 o'clock. And I don't mind telling you, I made a lot of notes to myself to make absolutely certain I would not switch names around between the services. Whenever I talk with couples before they get married, I tell them that the thing they are doing on the day of their wedding is something that rises to the level of the sacramental. Now, let me just stop right there and say, I am deeply aware that our church, together with every other church that came out of the Reformation, has a very narrow understanding of what makes a sacrament. And if you want to hold me strictly to doctrine, then you can turn to page 872 in the back of the prayer book, and there you will find at article number 25 of the 39 Articles of Religion, a very clear statement that we have only two sacraments, baptism and Eucharist, period. And yet, you will also find these words at the very beginning of that article, a kind of definition, if you will, of what a sacrament is. This is what it says in the curious English of 400 years ago. Sacraments be certain sure witnesses and effectual signs of grace and God's goodwill toward us, by the which he doth work invisibly in us and doth not only quicken but also strengthen and confirm our faith in him. Got all that? So here is where I take my stand and say that while we may only acknowledge two sacraments, we see in each other's lives and in our own moments where God gives us that sign of grace, where God shows such care for us, such goodwill for us, such a desire to see us happy, that we end up feeling closer to God, that our ties feel stronger somehow to our own faith. Those moments may not be sacraments, but they are surely sacramental. They are surely the means by which God enters into our material lives and makes much more real our spiritual selves. And they are not necessarily always happy moments. I'm talking about moments like childbirth or sitting with a friend who is dying. I'm talking about moments in which relationships that had long been broken over a misunderstanding or a damaged hope are repaired and restored into something new. I'm talking about that moment when you witness someone else act suddenly and without reflection in a way that is merciful and kind to a person in need. I'm talking about the day that a child of yours or a friend of yours finally reaches a goal they have worked for years and years, or the day a friend reaches out to you to tell you that they have just lost a job that they loved. I'm even talking about some of the images we all saw last week, the highlight reel from the Olympics that just ended last Sunday. Those images where, in a single moment at the finish line, there is the experience of triumph and defeat. Somehow those are sacramental moments too. So I know we only have two sacraments, but sometimes it does sort of feel that an aspect of our Protestant heritage, this limitation of sacraments, has an unhappy tendency to close our eyes to the sacramental moments all around us, just waiting to be noticed. Those little ways God is trying to tug at your sleeve just to get the attention of that part of you that has the potential for holiness, and to let you know it has not been forgotten. Sacraments are the business of the church. But sacramental moments, no one, no church nobody has an exclusive claim on those. And maybe that is why the church gets a little wary of them, a little suspicious of them, because they are means of grace. They are transits for God's private conversation with us that are outside and beyond the frame of what we do here. But you cannot live fully into this faith, friends, and you surely cannot live fully into the ministry that all of us share here together in the church without failing to see, just once in a while, getting to see those moments, maybe even stumble over them, when you are head down, hurrying along the path of your daily life, trying to meet all your responsibilities, and then there it is, right in front of you, something that opens up the possibility of the divine. When you witness that sacramental moment, it is not just something from this physical, material world that is suggesting or hinting at a spiritual idea. No, it is that moment in which you are experiencing something very real, very material, that is making absolutely clear something even more important, something even more real, that is awakening and making possible something about our deepest humanity in the very moment that we are seeing it or hearing it or touching it. That is why when we try to speak about these things, when we speak sacramentally, we have to speak in terms of figures or images or approximations or sketches of the reality we're trying to describe. It is the best we can manage to do. Jesus speaks these words about his flesh being the bread he will give for the life of the world. And the people around him are completely confused. The text this morning says they fall into dispute among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? You have to admit, it is a pretty disturbing image. It conjures up the universal taboo. It is a risky, certainly a provocative thing to say. But here it is Jesus who is speaking sacramentally. Here it is Jesus who is trying to describe with images and sketches something that is undescribable. Jesus is the one who has taken the form of flesh in order to have life among us who live in flesh. He will offer his whole self back to God for the life of the world. In his death, he will release us from death. By his life, a life lived in the flesh, in this flesh that we all know too well, we are brought into the possibility of eternal life. Our church, our Anglican church, has a long history of articulating a particular brand of Christian teaching, something that goes by the name of incarnational theology. Other branches of the Christian church emphasize different ideas about how it is we are saved by the fact of Jesus. Example, atonement theology. Atonement theology emphasizes the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. But we center our thinking on incarnational theology. And what that means is that we talk about the whole life of Jesus, the birth, the life, the teaching, the healing, the obedience, the death, the resurrection, the ascension, all of it as the way in which Jesus accomplishes for us the work of salvation. So if you want to see a marvelous summary statement of how it is Anglicans understand this whole business of incarnational theology, look again at the Collect of the Day that we started with this morning, because this is what it says. You have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin, atonement theology, and also an example of a godly life, incarnational theology. Death, life, all of it together does the work of salvation. That is an Anglican view. So when I hear these words of Jesus from John's Gospel, that is how I understand them. When we speak sacramentally, The first thing to understand is that we are not speaking literally. And Jesus here is speaking sacramentally, speaking about how his whole life, all of it, the way he lives, the choices he makes, the ideas that he teaches, the hopes that he has for all people, even us, all of it is offered on our behalf. And all of it becomes the way that we are given strength and sustenance to be disciples. So, when Jesus speaks of us eating his flesh, he is speaking sacramentally. He is talking about providing those things for us that will help us to experience grace, to feel more certainly God's goodwill toward us, to find our faith revived and made real. And when we speak of the Eucharist as a memorial, we are also speaking sacramentally. We are speaking of something that is physical and real, but that has the power to awaken in us something deeper, something that makes us more fully the people God made us to be. And that's true also when we gather here in this community. So here's the last idea to carry home this morning. We may be small, but we are a sacramental community. We are a place where our dealings with each other, our care for each other, our support for each other is the business of sacramental work. Because here is where we share the joys and the sorrows of life, real life, with each other. Here is where we engage other people as spiritual beings. Not just as friends or colleagues or family members or employees or classmates, spiritual beings. Here is where we find sustenance. Here is where we find strength. Here is where we find that other part of us awakened and made real. So that we will be able to see in the rest of our lives, at home and at work and in the classroom and on the train and everywhere else, we'll be able to see the sacramental possibilities with which God has mercifully surrounded us. Amen.